Chapter number 11, verse number 19. The Bible says, "The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' And yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." I want to set the context for you this morning as we begin our journey to understanding what Jesus is, meaning as they called Him a friend of sinners. This passage from verses 7 to 19 is Jesus giving a tribute or paying tribute to the life and ministry of John the Baptist. And here in verses 16 to 19, Jesus, what He's doing is responding to some of the criticism that He had received in His ministry, and also criticism toward John the Baptist. You see, Jesus' critics were not interested in truth. They were not interested in justice. All they were interested in was condemning Him. They were not interested in making sure the world knew that what He spoke was right. They were not interested in making sure everybody knew that what He spoke was of pure justice. They was wanting the world to think that He is under condemnation because what He speaks is from Satan. That's what they wanted everybody to know. And so they criticized Him and critiqued Him and everything they tried to do to condemn the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry. And in the John the Baptist and Jesus, they were not considered friends of the Jewish tradition by most audiences. If anything, they were considered enemies because they came preaching something different than all the Pharisees of that day. You see, if the critics could not find a truth that they would easily resort to telling a lie. And what they had to do in order to discredit the Messiah and His message, whatever they had to do, they were out to do it. And that's what their aim and goal was in their life. They got up every morning wanting to know, how can I discredit Him today? And I want us to note this little simple phrase that if we're not careful, we'll read verse 19 and move on to verse 20 without paying it any attention. And Jesus is called here by the people. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, "Behold." All it said is the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Well, they took that and said, "He's eating too much and he's drinking too much." And on top of that, he's a friend with them tax collectors and sinners. That's who he is. He may have been a Baptist, amen? Or the audience, let me say that. But anyway, they got it twisted real quick. And they did that quite often to the Lord Jesus in His life. But I want you to note this phrase, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. When we say the term friend, many of us right then and there had somebody pop up in our mind more than likely. When we say the word friend, our minds go to a specific someone maybe that means the world to you. Someone that you know is indeed your friend. And, you know, for some, it's maybe a spouse. For some, it just may be a lifelong friend you've grew up with. I don't know. But the majority of us in here had somebody in our mind that we went to when we used the term friend. And when we think of friend, there's many of us who think of that someone. And I want us to consider that phrase today, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. What does this mean? What does it mean when they say that Jesus is a friend of tax collectors and sinners? Here's what they're saying. In other words, He's a friend with some of the most despicable kind of sinners known in their day. That's what they're saying. This man is a friend of some of the most despised people in all of our culture. That's what they're saying. This dude walks around with some of the lowest of the low in our culture. That's what they're saying when they say He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Dane Ortlund said it like this: even though crowds call Him the friend of sinners as an indictment, the label is one of unspeakable comfort for those who know themselves to be sinners. Hello? I hope you caught that. You see, even though the crowds during those days cried out, "He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners," to bring about on Jesus an indictment, the ones who were labeled that found unspeakable comfort to know that He was their friend. There may be some of you today that need to be reminded and showed of the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend. As your friend. You see, the truth is, Jesus being a friend to sinners is only condemned by those who feel themselves not to be in the category labeled sinners. Did you catch that? You see, Jesus being a friend of sinners, I'm going to say it again, is only condemned by those who do not think of themselves under the label sinner. And they did not think of themselves as sinners. So what does it mean that Jesus is a friend of sinners? I want to start off simply by saying one of the first most important truths of that is that it simply means that He enjoys spending time with you. He enjoys spending time with you. Luke 15 verse 1, and I just pulled this one out. There's tons of other passages in the New Testament Gospels to where you can read kind of the same phrasing. But in Luke 15:1, it says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming to Him to listen to Him." You can find that everywhere in the New Testament. All these tax collectors and all these sinners were just showing up every time He showed up to preach. Why? Why was it not the high and mighty of Israel's day? Why is it the low of the low? Why is it the sinners and the tax collectors who are the two groups that are always accused of Jesus befriending? They're the ones that in the Bible they seem like they just can't stay away from Him. It's because they find themselves to be at ease around Him. They find themselves to become feeling welcomed and comfortable. There is a sense of something different about this man. Others stay their distances, but those who know who they truly are pulled more to Him because there's hope in His voice. And dear friend, there may be some of us today that need to be reminded of what it is to have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not push us away. His heart should be calling us and pulling us more toward Him, just like these tax collectors and sinners were in the New Testament gospel accounts. Every time Jesus stood to preach, these crowds would begin to be drawn toward Him. It was because there was something in His message, there was something in His rhetoric that pulled them in. And it was His heart. It was His heart. You see, this is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Christ pulls sinners in. Dear friends, how glorious it is today to know that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Now, unfortunately, to some of us, thinking about friends may bring up harsh memories. It may bring up times that you were deserted. It may bring up times that you may were stabbed in the back, or talked about, or lied about, whatever it may be. But if you don't know any, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. The message of the entire Bible and the gospel itself is summed up like this. In Jesus Christ, we are given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. Did you need to hear that this morning? In Jesus Christ, we are given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. Run to Him. Run to Him. Who is this Jesus? Sir, so is Jesus. He is your friend. He is your intercessor. He is your advocate. He is your sacrifice. He is all that we need. Run to Him. I want you to consider this now. Jesus is also a friend who, as He embraces us, it does not appear joyful one day and not so much the next. And don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because some days you may smile when you see so-and-so walking towards your door. Amen? Praise the Lord. And there's some days where you see so-and-so walking and you're looking for an exit. Amen? Don't act like you ain't been there. Or, you know, you're at the house and you look out and this car's pulling up. You know, or some days you see the car pulling up. And, praise the Lord, let's start a pot of coffee. You know, in Christ, you don't have to fret or worry whether He will be excited to see you one day from the next. Every day, He longs for your presence. This is what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have someone who is not one day going to be happy to see you and the next day hold his head low because you show up. Every time you come, He is joyful where you're there with Him. He accepts us regardless if we're dirty or clean. He accepts us regardless if our faith that week has been an A+ or an F. If we've been fickle or faint or furious or whatever it may be, Jesus is always there. Always there. His friendliness to you and I is fixed. It is stable. It does not waver. Listen at this now. The friendliness of Jesus to His people is as fixed as our declared justified. I hope you heard that. That ain't Rona. That's a dry throat. What if you had a friend? Just say you drew a circle, okay? Just say you drew a circle and you put all your friends in there. And you say, in that circle, what if you had a friend at the center of your circle that you knew would never raise his or her eyebrows at what you had to say? You ever thought of that? You sit down one day and you open up your heart. You sit down one day, praise the Lord, you sit down one day and you begin to open up your heart. You begin to tell them things that maybe you didn't want to tell nobody else. Things you've been holding in. Things you've been holding on to. And sometimes when you sit down and tell those friends, will not their eyebrows begin to raise? Maybe they're already judging you for what you're telling them. But see, when you come and sit down with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can you can tell Him everything that you have on your heart. And never once will He drop His head low. Never once will He raise His eyebrows in judgment. He will look you directly in the eye and be sympathetic with you. Because in Christ we have one who can sympathize with His people. You ever thought of that? Considered that? That you can let your heart open to one who will never do as I do to Ryan so often. No. You need somebody begin to tell you something, you're like, well, Lord have mercy. Christ won't do that to you. What a joy. I thought of this example in Revelation 3. I'm not going to ask you to turn there and read it. But in Revelation 3, the Bible speaks to us of a place in one of the churches. And it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." And then Jesus is at the door knocking, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and will dine with him and he with me." See, rather than coming in and calling you all these things, rather than not even showing up at your door because of the situation you're in, Christ is there and he wants in. You see, we certainly don't want to downplay, and I know what some of you may think. If I just preach on him being a friend, then I'm downplaying him being Lord. But I want to say it to you the way that an old theologian said it. He said he may also be our friend, but we never forget he is our Lord. You see, what we want to relay this morning is that the heart of Jesus Christ, he is a friend of sinners. He is not waiting on you to do something in order to get him to the door, so to speak. No, he's already there because of his heart that he has. Accept that invitation. He is a friend of sinners. And I think of something else interesting. John 15:15, it says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for you are the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you" what? "Friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, he spoke that to his disciples. Now, why is that intriguing? He said, "I don't call you a slave because a slave don't know what its master does. I'm calling you a friend because I've revealed to you everything that the Father has planned." What does that tell you and me as children of God? It lets you and me know that not only does a true friend pursue you, but that true friend in turn opens themselves that you may know them. And what Christ has done for you and for me is not withholding these glorious truths. He's opened himself so that all may know. What a friend. What a friend. Do you need one today? Do you need a friend such as Christ today? You see, Jesus is a friend to those. He's opened up everything that we may know. He's not held anything back. He completely unfolds the message of the truth. Jonathan Edwards said it like this: "God in Christ allows such little poor creatures as you are to come to him, to love communion with him, and to maintain a communication of love with him. You may go to God and tell him how you love him and open your heart, and he will accept it. He has come down from heaven and has taken upon him the human nature and purpose that he might be near to you and might be, as it were, your companion." Brothers and sisters, as we are on our journey, as we are on this pilgrimage, in Jesus Christ, we have a constant companion, a constant friend. You see, Jesus' heart heals our feelings of rejection. Jesus' heart, his presence, is one of gentleness rather than harshness. Jesus' heart changes our view of him being so aloof that we can't get to him to being one of whom is so aware of what really is going on in our life. You see, Jesus' heart heals those who feel alone by knowing that he is our forever friend and our forever companion. As he is our friend, so is he our king. And calling him a friend does not lessen his authority and our call to obedience. But Jesus, God has created us for fellowship, for community, and in Christ we have that friend. Jesus' heart for us means that we will be, let me say it like this. Jesus' heart for us means that He will be our never-failing friend, no matter what friends we do or do not enjoy on earth. There is one that will never fail, and that's Christ. He walks with us through every moment of life. He knows the pain of being betrayed by a friend. Remember Peter? But yet He Himself will never betray you. Jesus' welcome of you will never lessen or grow. It remains forever constant. In other words, when you approach the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to wonder today if He's more approachable than maybe He was yesterday. He is constant. Aren't you glad? I mean, I think, and I'm going to tease. I'll tease my mama here. She's not here to go home with me after church today. You know, there were some days you knew just not to. You just knew not to push that button. Or you may not live to see tomorrow. You know, you just knew there was so far you could go on this day. And there's no questions to be asked. It was just that was a given. And then some days there may be more grace available, but there were some days where you knew, I ain't gonna make it. You know, so that's not the way it is with our Lord. So as you go in and out, day in and day out, every week, and we go through what we're going through these days of uncertainty, never feel like, well, I wonder if I can approach the Lord today. He wants you to know He is approachable every day. At all times of the day. And for His people to never have to wonder if they will be heard or not. The picture that the Bible presents is one of Jesus coming down. I used to let, you know, I'd do something, get mad, cry about it, or strike out or something and go sit down, and Papa, he'd come over there and just ease up by you. And he'd put that big old arm around you. It's all right, buddy. That, and you may think I'm wrong, and I challenge anybody. But that's the picture that the Bible presents of the Lord Jesus for you and me. You may have had a rough week this week. Guess what? It's okay. Because the Lord in His Son puts His arm around you. And you feel that big old arm. And just a little whisper as the Spirit of God speaks to us through His Word. It's all right. For I have overcome the world. And Papa couldn't say that. But Jesus can. You may need to hear that today. And I hope you do. I think all of us need to hear it every day. Richard Sibb said it like this, and I'll hush. He said, as His friendship is so sweet, it is constant in all conditions. If other friends fail, as friends may fail, yet this friend will never fail us. If we be not ashamed of Him, He will never be ashamed of us. How comfortable would our life be if we could draw out the comfort that this title of friend affords? It is a comfortable, fruitful, eternal friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will with all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Church family, would you lean on your friend today? Lean on Jesus Christ, because I assure you He's there. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truth of Your Word.